The largest newspaper in Chihuahua in Mexico has written an op-ed to the controlling authorities of Juarez, not the government, but the drug cartels, begging for the safety of their reporters. That story coming up in a moment. But first, let's check in on the top news stories at 30 minutes after the hour. Afghanistan's Sangin province, part of the Helmand area, is now under control by U.S. Marines. Americans took control from British forces this morning. The region is seen as a vital supply route for the Taliban, and it's proved to be one of the most deadly combat zones. U.S. Ambassador to Afghanistan Carl Eikenberry says it's going to take some time to get the job done.
We've seen gains. We've seen some disappointments. People, whether they're in the United Kingdom or the United States, they have concerns with the mission. What we ask for right now is patience.
More than 100 British soldiers have been killed in Sangin since 2001. That's a third of the total number of British deaths in all of Afghanistan. UNICEF says more than 100,000 children left homeless by flooding in Pakistan are at risk of dying because they don't have enough food. The World Food Program alone has fed more than 4 million people since the floods began. But UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon says the scale of the disaster is overwhelming.
Indiana Congressman Mike Pence won the Values Voters straw poll over the weekend. The presidential poll is seen as an early test of where potential 2012 presidential candidates stand with socially conservative voters. Pence was followed by Mike Huckabee, Mitt Romney, and Newt Gingrich. Even in the recession, spending on some things are soaring. Add to this short list hunting rifles. Companies that make, distribute, or sell sporting firearms, ammunition, or supplies generated nearly $28 billion last year, up from $19 billion in 2008. It's just a slight bump upward for the markets this morning. The Dow's up 23 points and change. The S&P up 2 and 3 quarters, and the Nasdaq's up about 6 points or more. Those are some of the stories we're watching this morning.
Well, we've talked on this program about how escalating drug violence in Mexico has actually made it one of the most dangerous places in the world for journalists. And that situation is actually very clearly delineated because of an op-ed that appeared in Chihuahua's local newspaper, El Diario. They came out with an editorial that asks, "What do you want from us?" And here's the editor speaking.
We are in a war that President Calderon started against the drug dealers in Mexico, and that the newspaper didn't ask for this war, but we already have 2 people dead.
Paper has lost 2 journalists, the most recent, a 21-year-old photographer. And we're joined now by Monica Campbell, freelance reporter and 2010 Nieman Fellow. She served as the Committee to Protect Journalists Mexico representative for several years. Good morning, Monica.
Good morning.
We talked to you just last week about how dangerous Mexico has become, especially the area around Juarez, for journalists. Can this be seen as a sincere plea from the newspaper, or is this a condemnation as the government?
I think it's a mixture of both. I mean, I think what we are seeing is that journalists are lacking any sort of resource when it comes to protecting themselves. They don't feel that the government can protect them, the justice system can protect them. So on the one hand, I see this as a sign of desperation. On the other hand, I do see this as a sincere plea. I mean, we actually have journalists working in areas where the cartels can be in control, and I think that they're just trying to send these guys a direct message saying, what do you want us to do?
I want to play another comment from Gerardo Rodriguez. He is the editor at El Diario, and he is speaking to our partner, the BBC World Service, and he's talking directly to the leaders of the drug cartels.
What do you want? We're asking the drug dealers, if we don't know what you want, we're recognizing you as the authority in this town of Juarez, because the authorities have not been able to do anything to solve the violence. And you have, through violent acts, shown you are the ones who run this town.
Is that also a credible plea? I mean, is he really talking about a situation in which the government has totally lost control of Juarez?
I think he comes from a point of living in Juarez and seeing what's going on in that city on a day-to-day basis. I mean, you go to Juarez, and there's definitely a presence. You see federal police driving around. You see military driving around. It feels that the government has put boots on the ground in this city. But at the same time, you pick up papers like El Diario on any given day, and you have at least 10 murders happening during the day, broad daylight, at night, between these drug gangs who are continuing to fight for control over the area that surrounds Ciudad Juarez in the city. So whether or not the government just, they can have a presence there, but you're not feeling that safety on a day-to-day basis in the city. And that's what he's recognizing.
But Monica, the op-ed says, explain to us what they want us to stop so we can stop sacrificing the lives of our comrades in this address to the cartels. How do they expect this message to come back? In a bag of body parts, in a message, in a videotape, in an Osama bin Laden like audio tape?
Right. Do you mean explain to us how they're actually kind of communicating with these guys?
Right. I mean, how are they right. going to get the message back?
Right. Well, that's I mean we're actually seeing an unprecedented move by journalists, and I think that what El Diario has done is what a lot of journalists have been thinking, but to themselves. And so you've seen one-to-one negotiations with publishers, with journalists, trying to find some balancing act between keeping themselves alive and reporting. And there is contact with cartel members, and you do see corruption happening within journalism in Mexico. And I think what El Diario has done is said, let's just take this out into the public. I think what we'll see next, I'm not sure. I'm not sure how the cartels will react. But what you do have is an ongoing battle. So you don't just have one party in control in Juarez. That's why you're seeing so much violence. So this, I hope it doesn't get messier.
Well, Monica, you say that this is a battle going on, but to me this feels like surrender. And the editor actually wrote in the op-ed, this is not a surrender, and I'm quoting there. And yet this seems to me like buckling under the pressure, I mean, admittedly, to protect the right. lives of their journalists. But also, this seems to me like, tell us what you want us to report on, and that's what we'll report on.
Right. Well, when I said battle, I meant a battle between the cartels over control over this part of Mexico. The surrender, sure, it's not a surrender by the journalists. They're not battling over control. They're just trying to report what's going on. I think in terms of they don't want to surrender, but it's coming to a point where you can't report what's going on. And in a city like Juarez, where you have an unprecedented level of violence, if you're not able to do your basic job as a journalist, then I think some journalists are scratching their heads and wondering, what are we in business for?
Well, among the international community of journalists and those who seek to protect journalists, what should our response be then to the plight of our colleagues in Mexico?
Well, I mean, I know that the Committee to Protect Journalists is going to meet with President Calderon, I believe, this week. And there are moves on part of press advocacy groups to demand stronger forms of justice when it comes to treating crimes against the press and freedom of expression in Mexico. That's happening on the one hand. On the other hand, you continue to have foreign journalists go to Mexico, go to Juarez and report. But everybody has to take precautions. And at this point, I think we can only expect certain movement. I don't think we'll see radical change because the overall problem is so large in Mexico. This is just one area, and this receives a good deal of attention, deservedly, but it's a massive problem, and I think that any radical change, we just can't expect it.
Monica Campbell, freelance reporter and 2010 Nieman Fellow, also served the Committee to Protect Journalists for several years. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
The authorities in Mexico have offered us solutions, but we don't believe them. They're not credible. We know that they're preparing to blame someone for the murder of our first reporter, Armando Rodriguez, and we don't believe that they did it. So we're looking for a peace agreement. No story is worth the life of anyone anymore.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.